Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your hump days are off to a good start. Get your fireworks ready to go for the 4th of July. We have talked a lot of NBA on this show, and that will continue to start hour number three because we needed somebody else to come on and make sense of everything that's going on in old Rip City. And joining us now is good friend of the program, good friend of the station, Jason Quick, senior writer for The Athletic at JW Quick on Twitter. You can go give him a follow. Quick, good morning to you, man. It's great to have you on. We're trying to make sense of, you know, just everything over the last handful of weeks. There's about 9 different angles that I could start this interview with. I'll start, though, with Ja Morant. I just, you know, that was so out of left field, and you're way more in tune with the Blazers and getting better sources and all that than we are. Did you have any indication? What was your reaction when you get a notification of the Blazers have acquired Ja Morant?
No, I was stunned. I was stunned. But clearly they believe that they are getting a guy without having to give up too much and a guy who has a lot of upside. And I'm writing a story right now. Yesterday in Columbia, South Carolina, Mike Anori and Ja Morant met for lunch. They had a 2-hour talk, and Anori was just blown away by Ja Morant. The seriousness in which he talked, the enthusiasm for which he talked. He thinks the Blazers are going to get a motivated Ja Morant, and they're going to get the best version of Ja Morant. And most importantly, he said, Ja is 100% healthy, and that's something that he told him. Neil, that's really – there's two things to Ja that have kind of dulled his rising star, and that is injuries and suspensions, you know, the gun stuff. But Micah, after their 2-hour lunch, was just blown away by the focus – the enthusiasm and just how he's approaching this. Not once did Ja ask him, what's my role? Am I going to start? How are you going to play? He just wants to play and he wants to win. And he was a lot of his approach and demeanor in Memphis had to do with the fact that they weren't trying to win games. You know, they were much like Portland was for a long stretch. They were trying to get more lottery balls, and that didn't sit well with him. So they're very encouraged by what they're getting with Ja. But it kind of has created an interesting dynamic. I think this is going to be a small, quick lineup now. I really think they're going to go with the 4 guards.
Wow. So you don't anticipate them making – because, you know, Jaylen Brown I'm not as convinced on anymore. The Celtics just signed Mike Conley.
That is not going to happen.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown. Okay, so do you anticipate any others, or is it maybe a Kelly Oubre at best?
Obviously, I think they will make another move. I still think they need to address their shooting. Yep. I think they could use another power forward. But I don't think it's going to be Jrue Holiday. You know, Micah right now is flying from South Carolina to Los Angeles to meet with Jrue Holiday. And everything that I'm hearing is they are making plans that Jrue Holiday is going to be a big part of what they're doing. And they think that Jrue can play a little bit of small forward. They think he can play down a little bit because of his size and his strength. So I think they're going to keep all 4 guards. Wow. But, you know, I think they'll explore that. Obviously, you never say never, but I don't think they feel a need to alleviate that logjam because they think they all can play together. So Micah says, hey, we're going to play fast, we're going to be fresh, and we're going to create confusion by going small.
Well, I know you've covered this team for a long time, and you're doing a great job around the league as well. Like, how many years in our lives with different coaches we've heard about the tempo, and then the Dame offense is actually run, and it's not as quick as maybe we thought. And Dame's coming off an Achilles, so I'm just kind of curious, the fit of Dame with Ja, a lot of people point to the defensive stuff, the size stuff, like how you just kind of mentally visualize that, plus Denny. We got high usage guys on this team. Just very interesting mix of guys that we're talking about that are going to be on the court at the same time.
Yeah, I think what happens with now with this is I think you're going to see a lot more pick and roll and than Micah originally anticipated. But with a small lineup, I think you're going to see a lot more pick and roll. And the thing with Micah and his offense is he wants decision makers. And he says the best thing about having all those point guards is they're all willing passers. But to answer your question, we don't know how, the dynamic between Ja and Dame. We'll have to see. And I think they'll have to see how they play together. But, I think it's a good luxury to have two talented guys like that. But and we don't even know what Dame looks like. I've seen, just like everyone else, the Instagram reels of Dame working out. I think he looks explosive. I think he looks in incredible shape. And we all know Dame's mindset. I think Dame's going to be motivated to prove that he's still one of the NBA's elite. So I don't know. I'm pretty excited by the potential of what this lineup could do. I think motivation for professional athletes, having a chip and having something to strive for, is an incredible asset. Dame has something he's working for. He wants to reestablish himself as one of the elites in the game. Ja is on a huge redemption story. He wants to show that he's healthy. He wants to show that he's still one of the best. I think that's a really powerful thing.
Hmm. I totally agree with that point. We talked about that yesterday. This is it for Ja. If it doesn't work out, I don't know who's taking a flyer. If he gets another coach fired or, obviously another incident. Jason Quick is our guest, JW Quick on Twitter, senior writer for The Athletic.
And here's another thing, real quick thing about Ja that I think this team needed. They needed a little bit of piss and vinegar. It needs a little bit of fire that he plays with and that he kind of exhibits. This is a group of really nice guys, really nice guys in that locker room, but kind of docile, kind of understated. Not a lot of, I'm going to get in your face and stir something up. Ja has a little bit of that fire. And, every team, I think, needs one of those. Years ago, it was Evan Turner, who's just kind of a little bit off, but he keeps the team. He'll say the thing that everyone wants to say.
Yeah,
but it might be inappropriate at the time. I think Ja kind of has that, and he won't be the alpha in that locker room. That's going to be Dame and Drew.
Yeah,
and so I think this is going to be an entirely different environment for Ja. He doesn't have to be the alpha. He doesn't have to be the star. He doesn't have to carry the weight of everything. And I think that can be, it could be a really advantageous thing for him.
Yeah, I that's why I kind of chuckle at the invoking of the Jailblazers of everybody on this team seems to be a stand-up citizen. You brought in one guy with a bit of a troubled past, but let's not equate that to what we went through, 20-plus years ago. I'm curious from the bigger picture, Quick, of it feels like a lot of off seasons we've had, going back to even the end of the first run with Dame, when you have years with two first round picks and hey, now's OG Anunoby. Who's the move? You're going to go get Mikal Bridges. What's this aggressive thing going to look like? Yeah. And it turns into drafting a couple of guys and you're like, okay, that, all right, we're kicking that can down the road a little bit. You go into the off season, and I would argue the Blazers have been as well set up for a long-term kind of big move that they've been in a long time, right? These Milwaukee picks, the Orlando picks, the swaps, the young pieces that you maybe have to play with. If it does turn into another offseason of we just kind of hold on to all these future assets, you're certainly taking a buy low but a chance at a high reward swing on Ja Morant if you could figure it out. What's your thought, though, I guess, in the aftermath of it? And did you think this was the offseason that they would go trade, five first-round picks for fill-in-the-blank player here?
I did. I had the sense that they were going to make a big swing. And, is this the big swing? I don't know. We'll see. It's starting to trend that way. It's looking that way, but I still think they're active. I still think they're looking, but it's not the worst thing if they don't. There's still the trade deadline. There's still next off season. So, I think there's an element of let's see what we got here. But it's still an imperfect roster. Like I said, I still think they need some more size, certainly more power forwards. And I don't think that having those four guards is sustainable for a long period of time. I just think it's kind of a disservice to all four of them because eventually someone's going to be like, man, I want some more playing time.
Right,
you know?
Right.
How close do you think they got to Jaylen Brown?
Not at all. From what I've been told, that they were never high on him, never valued him as an asset to go for. And they asked for 4 first rounders from Portland, and Portland's like, no, you know. So I don't think it ever got close with Jaylen Brown.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. I'm talking with Jason Quick, senior writer for the NBA Athletic, at JW Quick on Twitter, covering the Blazers for a very long time, chatting about everything going on in the offseason. I'm just curious from – I know you've written about it and you've been at press conferences, and, you know, there's a lot of headlines about the owner right now. You know, we went from having Paul, who was so rich and just kind of, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Speaking
other than
of piss and vinegar.
Right. His 2 press conferences a year, to Jody, who was in the trust, but we never, I don't even know if she could talk because I never heard her voice before. And now to Tom, it's just such a change. And there's been so many negative headlines, you know, the layoffs and all. I just, as somebody who's been around the organization a long time and covered the team for a long time, what have we made of the last handful of months in the new Tom Dundon era? And now this lingering fear that an arena deal might not get done and the team could be on the move.
Well, I'm kind of the school of, I want to see how it plays out a little more. I don't want to rush to judgment on him. Mm. I don't like how every single thing, though, he can't help but make it about himself. Every single thing, you know, even in the playoffs, everything was about Tom Dundon didn't do this, Tom Dundon did this.
Yeah.
And now, you know, even in the coaching search, he can't give Micah the security that most coaches are afforded. You know, so I just wish he could make it less about himself, but also let's see how it works out. Maybe he's really smart. I don't know.
Right.
But my sense is that I wish he cared about Portland more. I don't think he cares about the city. I don't think he is passionate about keeping a team here. I think if he gets the chance, he will move the team. But I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and see how things play out.
It's very interesting offseason, I think, for the Trailblazers when you kind of look at a lot of the moves. And the Ja Morant one that's making the headlines, I'm, first of all, looking forward to the piece and what you're writing about with Mike and Nori meeting him. But we had Gary Parrish on. He's a longtime Memphis radio host. He does stuff with CBS and pretty plugged in. And we basically asked, like, has there been indications Ja off the court has changed? I know he's been arrested, but just some of the stuff that we've heard about over the years. And he said, look, I'd love to tell you otherwise, but I don't think the trade happens if that's true. And so he hasn't seen anything that shows it. As somebody that's writing about Mike and Nora meeting him, what have you heard, I guess, about Ja Morant? And it may be a sneak peek at what we look forward to reading about Ja Morant now, the Blazer, the guy that they're hoping can change kind of what his career has become.
Well, Micah raves about him, and you know, Micah had some players, Kyle Anderson. He knew his agent at one point, Mike Miller. There's another front office guy that had him, and he says they all raved about him as a guy that he cares about winning. He cares about people. I think where the question mark maybe comes in, and Portland's familiar with this, is the entourage, the people around him. He has maybe some bad influences, but, you know, like we talked about earlier, this is kind of one of those last chance opportunities, I think, for him to kind of straighten up. And, so we'll see if he kind of heeds that call. But from everything Micah says, that he is a good kid. He certainly hasn't shown that all the time, but we'll see. You know, I'm really torn on this. I'm all for second chances. I love redemption stories.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing this long enough to know that it seldom happens. It didn't happen with DeAndre Ayton. It didn't happen with Hassan Whiteside. The only person I can think of who really reinvented himself and kind of learned from his mistakes was Zach Randolph.
Mm.
you know, so is there a Zach Randolph redemption story in Ja Morant? That's what's going to be interesting to see. And I'm willing to afford him the space to make that change, but certainly everyone's going to be looking at him and waiting for him to show his old colors.
Yeah. Yeah. Every part of his life will be in a fishbowl. Was it a bigger story yesterday that they signed a fourth center to the roster and then that they got a guy that I've never really heard of before in Brendan Carlson? Was that the bigger story, or was it what the message sends about last year's first round pick and their faith in him going into the second year of his NBA career?
Yeah, no, I mean, you clearly are reading that right, that they don't have confidence in that Young can step in. You know, that has been the number one thing that everyone I've talked to in the Blazers going into free agency was like, we need big man depth. We need big man depth. They thought they were out on Robert Williams because he was asking for 15. They were comfortable at 10 to 12. But eventually Robert wanted to come back. They talked about and they made some concessions as far as what's guaranteed, what is not. And so I think they knew that they needed someone in case Robert wasn't able to play the 60, 70 games. And so they wanted a little bit of protection there, and that's why they went out and got a fourth center. But yeah, it's a little concerning that they can see that, you know, hey, this guy's not ready to play yet, even though we burned a first round pick on him last year. So yeah, make that of what you will, but I think the Robert Williams signing is just enormous for this team. I mean, how good he was last year, particularly in the playoffs. And there, that need also the need to sign Robert increased when they, you know, committed to Ja, because Ja and Dame are not the greatest perimeter defenders. They're going to need some kind of deterrence at the rim, and that really upped the importance of having two guys back there. And you're going to hear Micah Nori say this a million times. He's got 48 minutes of protection. That's what he says. He's now we have 48 minutes of protection at the rim. 48 minutes of protection at the rim. So they're ecstatic that they have a stable of centers who are going to be able to protect the rim. Because they're going to need it.
Yeah.
Are we going to get any Jason Quick down in Anaheim tarps off yelling for Artie Moreno to be fired? Are you going to join the party down in Anaheim?
Oh, boy. I tell you, right now, people do not want to see this guy with his shirt off. I'm guaranteeing you that.
I'm right there with you, buddy. I'm right there with you.
Hey, we were talking about that yesterday, Quick. Like, which one at the Fan is most likely to have a full nude photo of themselves on the phone? I voted Sukanik. I think Sukanik's in the running in this category.
Oh, no question. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You got to have some body confidence in order to take that picture. I'm certainly not in that category right now. I'm not going anywhere near that bathroom selfie. You got anything fun in the offseason? I mean, I know the next couple of days are probably so chaotic seeing what everything looks like. You doing anything fun this offseason?
No, I am not.
Nothing big. We're just hanging around.
I'm not. But, hanging around. And I think I'm going to start doing more Blazer stuff.
Nice.
I think I'm going to kind of embark and embed myself with this team again, because I think there's a ton of interesting stories there. I think Mike Anori is going to be a fun cover. I think people are really going to like him from a personality standpoint. And just listening to the guy talk basketball, he is really innovative, really fascinating. And I think one of his strengths is being able to take complicated basketball stuff and tell it to the average fan so they can understand it. So I think people are really going to like his personality and his the way he views basketball and his kind of genius and devising plays and stuff. I think they're going to be a fun watch.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I'm watching that press conference. I'm not a basketball savant by any stretch of the imagination, and I'm like, he's kind of making sense to me. I know what he's talking. I feel like I got more out of that press conference than I did with any of the coaches over the last 5 to 6 years. Last one for you. I'm just curious, because you obviously were there for it, and it's been a big deal we've talked about for a long time. Did we watch the Jailblazer documentary, and what was the takeaways from the Netflix doc, if you did?
I eventually did watch it, probably about 10 days ago.
Mm.
I thought it was not very good.
Yeah.
I thought it skipped a bunch of stuff. I thought it was a piece to appease those three players. Mm. Yeah. And I thought it was a lot of revisionist history going on. you know, that was a mess. And I find it very telling that they didn't talk to either of the coaches, Mike Dunleavy or Maurice Cheeks, yeah, who they drove absolutely nuts. So it's really telling. I thought they had an angle to tell, and they tried to portray themselves as victims.
Yeah.
Would Rashid say hi to you if you saw him tomorrow on the road?
No.
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 All right. I didn't think so.
Bonzi and I are cool now, though.
Okay.
Bonzi and
right.
I are
right.
back to being cool. We've had a very on again, off again relationship, but when they came for the reunion, we had a really nice meeting.
That's good. That's good to hear. Jason Quick is his name. Great to hear. Music to the ears of Blazer fans. He's going to be background covering the team. Closer senior writer for The Athletic at JW Quick on Twitter. Thanks for getting up with us on a Wednesday morning, Quick, man. It's great to catch up with you. And look forward to the piece on Jock coming out and Mike Inori. And let's do this again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care, guys.
Yep, there you go. Jason Quick of The Athletic. Some stuff to react to there.
Just a little bit.
Little bit. How about our coach going coast to coast, visiting players? Tommy Two-Nichols is paying for that?
Yeah. Is he expensing it, or is it like Tommy Dundon going,
is that on your own dime? I got a lot of questions here.
Also, maybe my segment idea wasn't awful of what if they don't do the move.
They're totally going to do it. They're totally going to do it.
Hey, look, I don't know if I'm right, but
they're totally going to do it.
They're going to do it.
Let's react to all of that. Let's get through it next on The Fam. Well, what is the bigger takeaway to you from Jason Quick? Thanks again for him hopping on. Great to hear from Quick. Be nice to have him back around the team a little more regular. I do think he's right that there's a lot of stories right now, whether it's a controversial cheap owner, the arena deal funding, you know, stuff going on behind the scenes. You have a coach on a one-year contract. You have one of the more controversial players that you've just added to your roster, Damian Lillard returning. Like that, to his credit, there is a lot of interesting things going on with the Blazers right now. Bigger takeaway, is it the already begun redemption story of Ja Morant, who's hunger and eager and ready to win, and already sat down with the head coach of the Blazers, who has nothing but positive things to say about him, or the idea that they're doing the guard thing again?
Well, I mean, that's not an easy one to answer, because I'm equally interested in both. I mean, how are we? You know, I thought Rob Mahoney said a really good thing on the low pod of, we went into an offseason with a lot of expectation because of assets. The age of the roster was highlighted many a time. We're in one of the youngest teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But then we started doing like little things in the last couple of years. You're like, like you added Drew Holiday.
Yes.
Kind of older, right? You traded out a younger player for an older player, and we would agree the older player better.
No doubt about it.
And then we signed Dame.
Back, yeah.
On the mid-level after he popped his Achilles, knowing he wasn't going to play a second last year. I still wonder why we needed to do that other than like the PR win.
Yes.
But that's just my two cents. And then Denny popped, and Tumani's been good, and Donovan has a better year too. And you're like, all right, here we go. The youth, right? And then Scoot comes at the end of the year, and he's like, becomes kind of a hybrid combo guard who's more of a scorer than a distributor.
Yeah.
And now we're leaning, it appears, back away. Like I think to me, the Rob Mahoney take is basically, you had a window and a lane, and you seem to have like pivoted into another lane.
That's what happens when you whiff on your first round picks.
Well, that doesn't help, but like you went from literally last year, before the coach was arrested by the FBI in Lake Oswego, Oregon, you came into the year screaming, what about your team? What was your team?
Defense, defense, defense,
defensive
length,
identity,
length.
Length, defense, disruption.
Yep.
Offense doesn't matter. Then your defense kind of was mid.
Mm-hmm.
Then your defense popped a little bit because your schedule got easy. Then your defense got exposed by a 19-year-old at your building in the playoffs, and you lost in five because you had no offensive creators outside of Denny Avdia.
Yeah.
And in that span, you have pivoted out now to, we need playmakers, and we're no longer this big defensive like threat. So I certainly have a lot of things that are going through my brain. I don't disagree with Quick's piss and vinegar.
Yeah.
I love that you got a playmaker, a creator. I just don't know how this is going to work. And I didn't bring up in the segment in the 7 a.m. hour about what if Kelly Oubre's their wing answer and that's it. This team has shown that they love draft picks. They're right now operating on the cheap with the new owner. Those picks, if they don't trade them, even if they're a couple years down the road, they're still cheap contracts. I'm just like mentally preparing myself for them doing this. And then he gets on and says, they believe in the four-guard thing.
Yeah.
They were never really in on Jalen like it was reported. Yeah, man. I hate to fence ride, but I think it's equally like, what is Ja now with everything on the line? And, yeah. Oh, my God, they're really going to run four point guards on this team?
It was equally positive and negative in that interview because, on the one hand, I can't wait to read his story about Ja. Like, the idea that Mike Anori – we talked about this yesterday on the show. Like, one of my biggest concerns about it, I again, in a vacuum, the trade makes total sense. You traded a bad contract in Jerami Grant, a young player who can't make a shot in a game, for a guy who has the potential to be an all-NBA caliber guy if the stars align and he can stay healthy and he stays out of trouble.
Yep.
But one of the things that he's also absolutely known for is being not friendly to NBA head coaches. And you got an NBA coach who's taken over behind the bench for the first time in that role and in that title, and you just that's concerning to me. And so the fact that they've already met and he flew out there immediately, sat down with them, they have nothing but positive things to say. Like, that's a great start to the relationship. Now,
well, also, it tells you how serious they are about this. Hope it's 1 year trade. The coach flying out to have a conversation is a real.
They view this as a long term plan.
I think they really have Damian Lillard.
Who? How many years does Dame have left in the NBA?
I don't know.
We don't know, but
don't know.
It's like.
When you can shoot, you can play to your 40.
No doubt about it, but in terms of like a high-level player, you're on the 16th hole of your career.
Agree.
Right? Jrue Holiday, maybe he's on the 15th hole. I don't know, but there are not a lot of holes left in those careers.
Yeah.
Ja Morant's 26 years old.
Yep.
Like, he's been around a long time, and his name's been referenced a long time, so I feel like at times we go to a mental place where he's older than that. He's only 26 years old. Mm-hmm. I think, how old is Denny Avdia, who we always...
25,
right?
Yeah.
They're about the same age together, and so we look at Denny, they're very different, where he starts a little bit slower, and now his career is popping,
yep.
Where Ja comes out like he's shot out of a cannon, and now all of a sudden he's petering out a little bit. So, I mean, I love to hear that. I love the idea that he's in, and this is his last chance, and he understands that, and as long as he... stays on the straight and narrow and can give you some decent minutes next year, it's going to be an awesome trade for Portland. The idea that they think they can do this again after clearly seeing last time it did not work, it's a five-alarm fire.
It's kind of wild.
And it's not four guards, man. We got to stop saying four guards.
Well,
it's four point guards. It's five guards.
I know, but it's 4 point guards.
How many? I mean, you can sell me until you're blue in the face the idea that Jrue Holiday can play some minutes at the three per game. That ain't a lot of minutes.
For this team.
If it's a bigger lineup that you're going up against, you cannot do that. I grant you that he's bigger and stronger, and sure, he can grab some rebounds and maybe hold the zone at times.
Sure.
But you have two guard spots to play the majority of the game.
Yeah, but you can play
got five
two of
guys.
Them together. You can mix and match this. And I totally get what you're saying about the minutes. You're not wrong. Again, we don't know if they're done. To Quick's point, he thinks they believe in it. Also, you never want to say never. So let's just hold ourselves open to the idea that they may make a move.
Yes.
But if it is just signing an Oubre, and I just keep throwing it out because that's the name I saw as a rumored sit-down thing.
Yeah.
And they have the four guards... I'm also not going to pretend that you can't mix and match this.
I mean, yeah, but let me throw a couple of these out there.
I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just
I know. So,
how about that?
A couple of bits of news quickly, and then I'll get back to your thoughts. We can talk about it next, but just to pass it along. Mitchell Robinson just signed a 3-year, $47 million deal with the Boston Celtics.
See you later, Donovan Clingan.
So the backup, Boston, that thing seems like that is set. They're not trading Jaylen Brown. At this point, I think they're coming to their senses of, why are we doing this? This is dumb. He's under contract for three more years.
Well, they're also not getting what they want.
No, they want more for him, and rightfully so. That's a whole other takeaway we can dive into in a second of the Blazers not even really having interest in Jaylen Brown. We just had a trade to L.A. Walker Kessler has been traded to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yep.
Where is it? 2031 unprotected, 2033 unprotected first round picks.
Yeah.
Plus 2028, 2030 pick swaps.
Utah was not getting close to the number he wanted. So the Lakers, and they need a big. DeAndre is going to be their backup, and Walker Kessler is going to be the lob threat paired with Luka and Austin Reeves. I don't know if this is changing much in my mind. But people seem to really love Walker Kessler. I'm fine. I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic is probably going to make him even better. But I don't know if this changes much for how I feel about the Lakers, unless Luka is healthy and otherworldly. But back to the Blazer thing, I don't understand it personally. It's not how I would like them to have built the roster. We're acting like they're playing the four guards at the same time.
No, and they're not going to
minute
do that.
Distribution here, yeah. But
five guards. Five. We got five. We have five.
Yeah. Okay.
We got five.
Can you play Shaden with Drew and Dame?
You can. You can. Are you going up against a bigger lineup?
It just depends who you're playing.
Yeah. On right? any given
night. Night-to-night basis, sure. You can play that lineup for a few minutes. It's like I'm more curious, how many minutes does Scoot get? How many minutes does Shaden get? Because right. Drew, Dame, and Ja will be priority.
They will
one.
Be playing. Now,
they will be number one.
That there's no doubt about it, and I imagine the closing lineup will change on any given night depending on what you need of – You know, we need defense late in the game. Drew Holiday's going to be in lineup. We're down by however many. We need Dame and Ja out there to get us some points. Like, you can be switchable in that regard, and I certainly understand that, and I have no issue with it. It's mostly about the other two young guys, and it's not necessarily that I'm even a buyer into where their careers are going to go. I think the
organization isn't into it.
No, because they've shown you. They just went and got another guard, and they don't think Scoot Henderson could be a long-term answer or a point guard. So that's why they went out and got Ja Morant, and last week they tried to get LaMelo. It's more about the idea that, like, Scoot showed something at the end of the year. What in total, I don't know. But he had nice moments. He had nice games. He was really good in game two, helped him win that. And then he kind of disappeared a little bit.
He showed you he's a combo guard. He's not a point
guard. Yes. I thought Shaden, he had a very interesting year where there's times where I want to give him more credit than he got because he was playing injured in a time you got a bunch of, two-way guys in the lineup. And he was gritting through it, and he was giving you some good performances alongside Denny, and Denny got all the headlines. Mm-hmm. But Shaden was a big part of, like, keeping them afloat at times in the middle of the year, and then you get to the playoffs, and he's unplayable, and he's not even in the lineup, and that just leaves you asking more questions. Like, I don't see, when you're in a locker room situation, and maybe Scoot and Shaden aren't this way, I don't know. I tend to think at some point this is going to explode a little bit internally of, I'm playing 14 minutes a night, and I'm in my fourth year in the NBA. Or what's Shaden going into? Year four, right, or year five?
Shaden is year five because
he's going into year five, and Scoot's going into year four. So I just there will be times that you can package the three guys together. There will be times that you can rotate. And let's also be honest, right? Like, Ja Morant's had a hard time staying healthy. Maybe he gets banged up in the first month of the season, and you look up and you say, "Damn, I'm glad that we had Scoot and Shaden." So that maybe is a part of it as well, and it's an insurance policy. If those guys stay healthy, like, how are they going to be happy halfway through the season? Still in year five and year four of their careers, not playing meaningful minutes. And I don't know if it gets to the point where the locker room blows up or they demand trades, or I don't know if that's their personality at all. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes of, like, I don't see how they, if I'm Scoot and Shaden right now, I'm looking at the roster saying, what?
I think Shaden is already wondering what, based on how his playoff minute distribution was. And the thing about the blow up, I don't have that problem with Scoot. Scoot may quietly ask to be moved if possible. But Scoot has shown, I think, us so far 3 years in that, like, he's ultimately just wants to be team first guy, rah rah, hype people up. Maybe he figured something out there at the end of the year. I don't know if it's enough of a sample size for people to feel confident about it.
Yeah, such a small number in the regular season.
We also know they're not going to play all these games. We know Ja Morant is not going to play 70 games. He's never done it.
No.
The reality is, dude, like, Drew's going to miss a little bit of time. Dame's probably going to miss some time. Like, they're not all playing 82 games. We see it every year. The way basketball is played is almost an impossibility for any player outside of Tomani Kamara to play 82 games. So I just think we're asking a lot. We're assuming a lot. Now, again, I'm not the biggest fan of the four-guard thing. But the minute Ja Morant dunks all over Lauri Markkanen, we are going to be all in on November
that.
The 9th. Yeah. I mean, we're just going to be like, we did it. We got the reverse Zeebo. It's done. We will be exactly in that position. You don't have to like it. In fact, I would be leaning, I'm terrified right now. Maybe it's fun. Maybe it's entertaining.
They're going to go. The guru will go.
I'm more fascinated if this is it. True serum to crump. What was the pivot here? Your entire identity was be longer, be bigger, don't do the guard thing. And you might go into the season with four point guards. It's an interesting thing to try to figure out why.
Lots to process still. Still an incomplete picture. We don't know what the rest of the moves will look like. Your thoughts are welcome. 503-864-6326 or live on the YouTube chat. Throw them in there. We'll have a little bit more Blazers in the final hour. We'll let you know if anything else breaks in the association. We got to get back into the USA game tonight. We got Satter Story coming up in the final hour. Lots, though, to get to. Back after this, 105.1 The Fan. That was a bit of a summer wind vibe today. Finally getting a little bit warmer. Summer weather returns. It's going to be a delightful 4th of July.
Oh, I just want to golf.
That's my guy!
I have no 4th of July plans.
You got nothing going on the 4th of July? No barbecue plans? Just hanging with the fam bam?
If all you're doing is barbecue, is that like a plan?
That's not plans. That's not
eating
plans.
Dinner.
I feel like the plans have to involve some sort of a larger get together or fireworks show.
We got invited to one. We have no interest in doing it. I'll put on my Diana Taurasi USA jersey like I do every 4th of July.
Just go step out in the backyard and throw some wieners on the grill.
Yeah. What
kind of weenies are we going to grill?
All beef.
All beef?
I don't eat
You got to go all beef dog here. We don't eat pork. I don't even know what we're going to do because I'm not buying fireworks.
Will you?
You're not getting me.
Not going to happen.
No. I bought the starter kit, you know, the standard $40 pack that's never worth it, and I'm like, we're lighting tanks that barely shoot. You want a snake? You got a snake.
You want a snake? I love the snake.
I just like, you want a Whistling Pete to hurt your ears?
Beep.
You want a fountain that cars suddenly go down your road and have to stop and wait for 3 minutes so this thing can go off and go no higher than 4 feet? I don't really have an interest in it. I worked at a fireworks stand. Trust me, I support the business.
Yes.
I just don't support it financially myself. Mm. Yeah, it's a weird 4th of July that way. Yeah. It's supposed to be a big one. So it's like, I don't know.
250, man. 250 is a big deal.
My 4th of July last year was infinitely better than this year's will be. I had a beachside perfect view overlooking Pelican, and I got an entire fireworks show for 2 hours last year.
Wow.
From the deck of my hotel.
That's a good 4th of July.
You can't beat that. You pay no money.
No.
You get the $1,000 plus fireworks show.
It's a free show right there waiting for you.
That's as good. And the weather was utterly perfect. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was 74 degrees at the beach.
Yeah, delightful.
I had a little bit of lobster skin going. I mean, you can't match that 4th of July.
It's a good 4th of July right there.
What am I do now? Show my kid Bill Pullman? Eat a wiener?
We will not go quietly into the night. You're damn right we won't, Bill Pullman.
I don't eat the wiener.
Do you have big plans? What are people doing for the 4th of July?
Yeah, the tough part for me is a lot of it will be predicated on what the nap schedule is for the little guy. Because I'm going to try and push to get him to the fireworks show. But it does not start until roughly 10 o'clock at night, I think. I don't know specifically.
It's that late?
I mean, you got to wait till it's dark. What time? I mean, I went to bed at 9:30 last night. It felt like it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're not lighting those. You're not lighting off
a lot of
$10,000.
Starting to light them off at the very.
Not
end
the
of
one that we. The
sunset.
One that we go to. They wait till nighttime. There's the Oaks Bottom one is a nighttime routine. Now maybe it's a little bit earlier than I'm giving it credit for. Mm. But I also acknowledge and understand how awful my life is if I have a kid who's overly tired and I'm trying to deal with that. And it's the worst case.
But you're
scenario.
Off the 5th, so you can deal with the consequences.
Oh, I can deal with the consequences, but I'm not taking them all the way to a fireworks show if we're melting down the entire time. That defeats the entire purpose. So we're going to shoot for a late nap. I'm hoping we get a sleep in Saturday. I get a late nap, and then we'll try and push it to the fireworks show. If not, then we're just barbecuing, lighting a couple of small things off, and then going home.
So you are going to buy fireworks?
I was going to get to this debate. There's a weird conundrum in my family right now. That I don't know how to handle. So we're getting together with my family.
When you say that, who are you talking about?
My side or the wife's side? It's mainly it's a me versus my brother thing right now. So fireworks are banned in the city of Portland. Like, you cannot buy them. You can't sell them. They're technically illegal, right? Nothing happens
to
you.
Try to Clackamas County, bro.
Exactly.
You're good.
So my brother has the stance of he doesn't want to set the press, because these kids know that fireworks are illegal.
He doesn't want to break the
rules.
He
doesn't want his kids to see that it's, you know, well, who cares? Go buy fireworks and then we'll light them off. He's under the, like, I'm trying to have this be a morality thing. If it's illegal, we're not going to do it. We'll go to the other fireworks show.
What?
I also don't know if Teddy Ballgame's going to make it. I don't know if Teddy Ballgame's ever seen a firework, and I think he would like fireworks, and I don't know if I'm going to be judged or chastised if I show up to the family barbecue with, I'm not getting anything crazy. We're talking like 5-foot fountains that don't scream.
Yeah,
I don't want anything loud. He's not going to like that. I'm not getting big boomers. But if I go to Clackamas County and buy something that goes 6 feet in the air and lasts 5 minutes,
for his age, it's perfect.
It's perfect, yeah. Right? Yep. And is this going to create friction? Am I the morally inferior one,
you know?
Now dirty little Uncle Andy's the one bringing the illegal fireworks.
First of all, your nickname on the radio is Dirt. I think you're already the questionable Uncle Andy.
Oh, I for sure am. There's no doubt about that.
The other part here is I got an answer for you. You buy these fireworks. This is more about your kid than it should be your nieces and nephews. No offense.
Then he's going to have to answer questions. Why didn't we get fireworks, Dad?
That's a great thing. He should have to answer, and here's your response. You bring the fireworks.
Yeah.
He gives you a little crap.
Yeah.
You respond, dude, it's America. And then you go to your car, and before you light them, you know what you hand them? You hand him a long red coat, and you say, I bet you would have called the red coats on those guys dropping tea in the harbor.
You would have been on King George side, wouldn't you?
Our entire country was built on breaking the rules.
You're damn right it was. Amen, brother.
Our whole country loves to complain at all times. They have forever.
250 years ago.
He's afraid to set a precedent of setting a six-foot fountain off?
This is very controversial right now, very. And I'm really one Teddy Ballgame.
Tell him to go buy drones if he wants a drone show.
I want Teddy Ballgame to see some fireworks. Now, he might be scared. He might not like him. I don't know how he's going to receive him. You know, maybe he runs in the other direction and starts crying. I have no clue how it's going to go.
I'm with you on this, and I am telling you,
I think I'm leaning towards bringing the fireworks. I'm definitely leaning towards
bringing the fireworks. You know how many people in the city limits will be lighting fireworks that go in the air?
It's insanity that everything's illegal. Absolute insanity.
Absolutely.
I legitimately think in the city of Portland, you could technically get a ticket for a sparkler. Like, now, do you get one? No, because the cops have better things to do with their time and actual troublemakers on the 4th of July. But by the letter of the law, I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
Do you know that you, like, of all the things to be way too woke on?
Fireworks is pretty bad. Fireworks is pretty high on the list.
Come on. What is a 5-foot fountain doing?
It's not doing anything.
It's not
harming anybody.
Half the time, they don't light.
No.
You're like,
yeah.
And then you're like, it's going to go off.
Fizzles out halfway through.
And it just doesn't go off. And then everyone's like, don't touch it. And then you like tap it with your toe as you're like 8 feet away.
There's an idea of the nostalgia for, I love the 4th of July.
I grew up making whistling peat bombs with milk jugs and I lived in Portland.
Putting firecrackers into like little green army men and seeing if they would explode that was what we did every 4th of July.
Oh man.
Me and my brother, we'd blow as much stuff up as we could. That was the beauty of it. And so now to not be able to return that favor to our kids, that sucks, man. They should be able to blow stuff up responsibly.
Are you going to let him light any of them? The smaller ones.
I have not thought about that yet. I don't know.
You should behold him. You know, you don't want to Jason Pierre-Paul, like, hey.
Don't put your fingers over the thing.
Daddy, let me show you how to hold it while it goes off.
As long as I'm holding him, I think I'll let him light a fire. Why not, dude? When in Rome. It's the 4th of July. We're 250 years old. Blow some stuff up.
One of my favorite parts of a TV show, and it continually pops into my algorithm every like other week, is the scene of the Detroiters. Did you ever watch the Detroiters on Netflix?
I did not.
It's got Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson. It's exceptional. It's only two seasons. It's the easiest, funniest quick watch in TV you could watch.
Right.
They have a scene. They're in the inner city of Detroit, and Tim Robinson is doing a throwback white announcer talking about how his buddy who's black is now in baseball, and he's firing Roman candles, and he's trying to hit him with like a stick, and he shoots him accidentally. He goes, "Jenny, put him out!" And he fires him with a hose, and wasn't doing that.
This is what we need to do. It's the 4th of July, man. Let us live a little bit. Damn it!
Sounds like you got controversial plans. I got no plans. You got controversial plans.
We got controversy here. We got controversy in the Johnson household.
Brandon, are you a fireworks 4th of July guy? Like, where do you stack on?
Do you live in Portland proper, or are you outside of the city limits?
I'm like just outside, like northwest Portland in the hills.
Okay,
like just above Beaverton. So still Portland, but not really.
Yeah,
you are balling.
Over the budget over there.
I am mooching off my aunt-in-law. I'm not balling at all. Still technically homeless, if you want to call that.
Hey, you do you, boo. Whatever.
Are you in a pool house?
is there a pool in your backyard?
Are you a cabana boy?
Not in a pool house. Fireworks, I'm okay with it. I'm not crazy about it. I don't like loud noises too much. So from a distance, I'm cool. And I'm not going to try to light something crazy. I'm a very non-risk guy, so anything with fireworks just kind of scares me to harm myself.
Yeah.
That area, though, you're not very far from trying to find a viewpoint where you get the fireworks show anyway.
You get a decent show.
Exactly.
Yeah, somewhere in the city. Yeah, there's a balance there. I'm with you. Like, the people who light off fireworks at 2 o'clock in the morning and wake the neighborhood up, you burn in hell.
Last night, I just like, repeatedly.
What is the matter with you?
Yeah, boom.
Just light them off on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a holiday.
I just want to like yell from my window. Hey!
Yeah.
Hey!
Hey! Hey! Hey! You keep it out of
people, try to sleep!
Try to sleep! I got to wake up in 2 hours, man!
Let me get my gun! If I had one!
Right.
This baseball bat!
See, there's a balance. There's that guy, and then I just want to light a fountain off. Can I light a fountain off? Is that too much to ask? I don't think so.
A fountain. There's nothing more.
You like a big
fountain? There's nothing less exciting than
who doesn't love a good old fountain on the 4th of July?
Oh, wait till it snap, crackles, and pops.
Ooh, what's the big finisher of the fountain going to be, too? Because you got to have a big, you know, the last three got to kind of go. It's all together. It's like, ooh, it's
now we're doing the John Morant celebration.
Welcome to Portland, Joe. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. A Statter story coming up in a bit. Some more NBA thoughts, I'm sure. We'll get you set for Team USA knockout stage game tonight against Bosnia. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.